Hi, I'm Renny, and welcome to another episode of the Street Food Blog. I'm really excited about these next episodes coming up, and if you get a chance, please don't forget to subscribe so you never miss out on another episode that comes out. Also, while you're at it, pop over to our YouTube channel, Renny's Street Food Blog. Hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, follow it, enjoy it, because we're about to take a food journey like no other, looking at the best and the worst and the heritage and the history of different foods around the world. Let's do this together. It's going to be a corker. So I'm going to name this one The Good Companions. Very shortly, you're going to hear a extract of the YouTube experience, the YouTube video, and a recording that I took when I was out at Whitby. A bank holiday weekend wouldn't be complete without this emblem of British food culture, the humble yet truly fantastic fish and chips. A dish that, having been brought together around 1860 by Joseph Mallin, although Mr. Mallin opened his store on Old Ford Road, Bow, London, he moved from there in the 1970s just to make some more room for houses to be built in the East End of London. But it was the late Samuel Isaacs who formed the first actual restaurants of note, expanded his empire across London and the South Coast. One address in particular holds so many special memories for me, and also a place in the Hall of Fame for fish and chips. And that's number one, Marine Parade, right opposite Brighton Pier. Now owned and run by Yorkshire's son of the modern day chippy, Harry Ramsden himself. This restaurant has served British fish and chips, mushy peas, to almost every class of person. Even though Mr. Ramsden started his business in Guiseley in West Yorkshire, circa 1928, the business has become as much a statement of this symbolic dish as it was for the troops during World War II. And quite fortuitously, I'm recording this on National Fish and Chip Day, a day before the anniversary of the D-Day landings. And it was the fish and chips that, to maintain a strong morale amongst the British population and also those brave soldiers fighting across the shores of Europe, Winston Churchill, had ensured that the dish was not part of the rationing that those British citizens at home had to comply by during World War times, but also providing fish and chips to the troops to boost morale. And it's also believed that on the D-Day landings and around the D-Day landings itself into occupied France, it's believed that the code fish and then the word chips was used as a signal between troops at checkpoints for identification. Any hesitation or poor pronunciation would mean an instant refusal to passage. And come on, let's face it, during wartime, we know what that means, certain death. So as you can see, the dish that originally found its way into British culture back in the 16th century as a fried fish coated in flour by nomadic Jewish immigrants from Spain via Holland, the chips being introduced to Britain by fleeing French Protestant refugees in the 17th century who settled in the London area. It was this marriage of these two components that came together in London and up in Molesley, Lancashire, served out of wooden huts or on street carts, and has definitely cemented itself as British food at its very best. You know, at its peak, it was 35,000 stores, 35,000 fish and chip stores that were spread across Britain. But sadly, today, there's still only around 10,000 remaining. It's an institution that needs support from all of us right now to survive, especially post-pandemic. At the time when heritage of food and cultural identity has become extremely important, we can't thank the refugees of the 16th and 17th century enough for their contributions to an all-time classic, quintessentially British street food dish. I was fortunate enough as a youngster to eat fish and chips every week as a child. But my father would come home from with his luncheon vouchers, a weekly certificate that was given out in the 1970s and early 80s to employees. There were 15 pence per voucher. Now, I remember back then, two vouchers would buy a portion of fish and chips, 30p. I loved it. It was great. This weekend, I was also privileged to actually finally experience the best fish and chip restaurant as voted and judged in 2019 in the UK. Trenchers. Trenchers actually served up a cod in a batter that was crisp, clean and light. The chips were what you'd expect and what you'd hope for and wished for out of a chip shop. Chip shop chips. Pure, soft, fluffy mushiness inside and the outer vinegar-soaked firmer body. As for the whippy scampi and the mushy peas, you'll just have to take my word for it. When I say Ava, my little four-year-old, devoured every mouthful. Dada, I want more. You know what? Who knows? Maybe in years to come, she'll look back on that nostalgic trip to Whitby Bay. I hope you enjoyed this next episode and this clips, this extract from the YouTube video. So obviously, whilst on our day out in Whitby, it was only right to go and see the 2019 winners of the best fish and chip shop in the United Kingdom. Just before the pandemic, they won this title, Trenchers of Whitby. If you get up there, get to North Yorkshire, these boys are banging it. Fish and chips have been a staple part of British culture, British diet. Okay, so I'm hoping you can hear me with the wind in the background. I do apologise for the breeze, but I'm down here at Whitby in North Yorkshire, in actual fact. So we travelled out to North Yorkshire, to Whitby, to experience the best, voted and judged as the best fish and chip restaurant
in the country in 2019, just prior to the pandemic. So obviously they're still holding that title right now, and Trenchers. So I've just enjoyed a portion of fish and chips, mashy peas, Whitby scampi here on the dockside with the tall ships that you can see behind me in their quay. I've got to say, beautifully clean, crispy batter encasing this really flaky, delicious cod. The scampi was to die for, I've got to say. Mushy peas, a nice little tang, could have done a little bit more for me, but all in all, 10 out of 10, absolutely incredible. Now, fish and chips has a massive history in the north. It was actually considered, or it's thought that in 1865 or 1865, the first record of a fish and chip shop actually being in existence in Maudsley in Lancashire, just near near Greater Manchester itself. But probably one of the most famous sons of the North, Harry Ramsden, created his Harry Ramsden's fish and chip shop empire from Guiseley in Yorkshire itself, and travelled all around the country, opening up his stores and across the world. In actual fact, he's got a few operations here and there scattered about, but it's the one down in Brighton that, you know, has got so many memories for me. That number one Marine Parade has changed hands so many times. Currently it is Harry Ramsden's, but in actual fact it was originally Samuel Isaacs. Now Samuel Isaacs, born in 1830, something like that, actually still got into the fish and chip business in London, set up his first fish and chip shop in our hometown down south in London, not very far in actual fact from Borough Market, where we were the other day. And from there set up a chain of fish and chip shops across the south in London and the south coast, namely that particular one on One Marine Parade. And that one on One Marine Parade is one that has all their heritage and history for me, enjoying fish and chips on Brighton Beach, on the pebbles there. But it wasn't, even though the fish and chips is quintessentially British and an emblem of British food culture, it originates here in Britain, but it's believed that in the 18th century, as early as the 16th century in actual fact, with Spanish and Portuguese Jewish nomadic settlers, immigrants, settled across via Holland into Britain with the concept of battering fish, but not actually batter. They weren't using batter, they were just coating it in flour and deep frying. And for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it, but I will double check it. But it was enjoyed on Shabbat, which is the, as those of you know, in the Jewish religion, culture, their week runs by the lunar system, but with Shabbat falling on a Friday, hence one of the reasons why we have fish on Friday. So it was to celebrate the 6 days that it took to create the earth, and that's where, from the old Bible, that's where the story comes. And it was from that in the late 1800s, that fish and chips, or the fish, battered fish in fact, came into existence and was first recorded in a recipe book, the penny cooking, penny cookery book, and that was in 1847, I believe, that the book was published. And from there, it's all history, as they say.
Are a fox in his
land. What are you doing?
Yes. So here's to your peel with your heart and soul. It'll put to be the flowing bowl. I'll follow John Peel through fair and foul. While I'm awake by his horn of the morning, and the sound of his horn has from me. Hold that.
So yeah, even though you can see Whitby Bay is famous for its fish and chips and for its seafood, it's also famous for one of the greatest novels of all time, Bram Stoker's Dracula, inspired by Bram Stoker's very own visit to the North Yorkshire coastline in July 1890. His inspiration came from this beautiful little seaside town.
What do you mean, yeah?
So as you can see, even though fish and chips originally as the pescado frito produced by the Jewish immigrants in the East End of London were just coating in flour and dipping in oil, combined with that really popular northern concept of frying potatoes, the combination together actually created the most symbolized of all British foods, the fish and chips. Guys, hope you've enjoyed this episode. Hope to see you again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for watching. Have a corker of a day. I hope you enjoyed that, guys. If you haven't done so already, please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast series, as well as our street food blog, the Rennie Street Food Blog on YouTube, where you'll catch so many more insights into Rennie's journey around the world, really looking at the history of food. Please share this message with everyone. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss out on another episode of Rennie's Food Pod. Have an absolute corker of a day.